Good evening, everyone. I want to talk to you about a passage in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Actually, a concept that is found in that passage. The wise man there says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So the concept I want to talk about is the importance of diligence in the life of a Christian. Perhaps it would be best for us to start with a definition. The noun diligence is defined as earnest and persistent application to an undertaking, a steady effort, assiduity, attentive care, and heedfulness. It indicates an individual who truly takes seriously his responsibilities as a child of God. Now, the word diligent as an adjective also describes what is marked by persevering and painstaking effort. I like that phrase, painstaking effort. It indicates, again, going above and beyond. So if you are a diligent Christian, you are painstaking and persevering in your efforts toward Christ. If you are properly characterized as having diligence in your life, then you are certainly heedful with regard to the responsibilities that you have. And so diligence, if you look at those definitions, can rightly be understood as extremely important, vitally important. Now, this is true in a lot of other areas of life as well. It impacts both the spiritual as well as secular pursuits. And that's why you would have, for example, one who is an employer, when he's talking about his employees and is asked the question, what's the most important characteristic of an employee? It may very well be that idea of diligence. He wants a diligent worker, someone who's going to put in the effort, who's going to take care to do things and to do things correctly. So when we think about that, it's something that we can very easily see as not being a natural or automatic thing. That diligence requires a cultivation. It requires a nurturing. It's not something that individuals are simply automatically going to do. It has to indicate an important characteristic, in other words, something that is important to you personally, which leads you to such effort, and it's something that you must take seriously in order to truly be diligent as you ought to be. So let's talk a little bit about some areas and wherein diligence is important. We're going to, first of all, take the obvious one, and that is it's important for us to be diligent with regard to the service that we render to God. And in order for that to be accomplished, for us to be steadfast, for us to be effective and to be mindful, it is necessary that we first know what God requires of us. Now, we talk about this quite often, the necessity of knowing God's will. But that takes diligence as well. It's not something that will come automatically through osmosis. You're not just going to sit there passively and gain an understanding of God's will. So it's an important point to make. And in fact, it's one that's affirmed many times in Scripture. For example, Moses affirmed the importance of the idea of diligently seeking truth to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. He said, "Take heed to yourself." And there will be phrases we'll use throughout this study that indicate the importance of diligence. And taking heed is one of those phrases. It says, "Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." And he says, "And teach them to your children and your grandchildren." A couple of chapters later, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you'll remember Moses said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you raise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." And so Moses indicates again the importance of diligence with regard to seeking God's truth, to ascertaining what God's will for us is. Solomon does the same thing. In fact, his treatise on the subject of wisdom is something that illustrates this point. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12, He says, I, wisdom, so he's speaking as wisdom would speak. He said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance, and the evil way, the perverse mouth I hate. So here is the call. Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. This is wisdom. By me kings reign, rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Those who seek me diligently will find wisdom, but it must be sought diligently. So these are principles that are very well established in the Old Testament. In like manner, the New Testament establishes that same principle. You remember the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where in the King James Version, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to study to show yourself approved unto God. The word there actually is better translated, be diligent. It is diligence in study. But as is stated in the New King James, we're to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, workers that do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the concept of diligence is found in the New Testament as well. A long while ago, Abigail Adams, she was a former first lady, she said that learning is not attained by chance. It must be sought with ardor and attended to with diligence. She understood in secular education that it's not something that just happens as a matter of fact or happens by chance. It comes to those, the learning and instruction and the knowledge comes to those who have diligently applied themselves. And if that's the case with regard to secular education, of how much more importance can it be said that that is true with spiritual education? You know, we there are a lot of us, a lot of you, who have actually gotten college degrees. Some of you may have gotten not only a bachelor's, but a master's, and maybe even a doctorate. You truly applied yourself, diligently applied yourself to attain that level of knowledge that was required to reach that level of expertise to get that degree. It could even be said, though an easier one, that that's true with regard to a high school diploma. But you really present yourself diligently to apply yourself and you gain this particular diploma, this particular degree. How many of us have exercised ourselves to the same extent to ensure that we have a knowledge of God's will that will serve us well in the end? So the importance of diligently seeking His will is something that is evident, and yet we need to state that merely learning is not enough, because you have to be diligent in doing or obeying what it is that you learn. John 13:17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Moses' words, after he talked about the importance of teaching them to your children at all times, when you're sitting down, when you're standing up, when you're going to bed, when you're rising up, he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and what is good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord has sworn to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. So he indicated not only the importance of knowing the will, but to obey it, so that the promises that God had given concerning the promised land and their inheritance as a people would be something that would be attained. It would be conditioned upon their learning God's will and doing God's will. Now, to make a spiritual application with regard to our lives, you're aware, no doubt, of the text of 2 Peter chapter 1, where a description is given of things, characteristics that we have to apply to our lives, that we need to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. You may also remember that if we add these various characteristics to our faith, then we are told that if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He said, but if you do these things, you will never stumble. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So adding these things, these attributes, is something that leads to these great and wonderful blessings. But I want you to notice in both verse 5 and verse 10, the phrase, giving all diligence, or in verse 10, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. And so the adding of these attributes is something that takes effort. It is not something that just happens, again, as a matter of fact. It is something we apply ourselves to. But the same promise that he gave to the Israelites concerning their promised land and their possession as a result of their keeping and obeying his will is one that we have today, the spiritual blessings, that eternal inheritance that is ours if we are diligent in serving the Lord. Okay, so let's talk about some other things. First of all, we want to talk about serving brethren. We must diligently serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me give you a couple of examples to start off with. Titus is a good example. It's related in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Titus and another unnamed brother in this particular text. You'll notice in verse 16, the apostle says, "Thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you." Again, look at the phrase, "an earnest care for you," in the heart of Titus, for he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Not only that, but who has also been chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administered by us, providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom, notice this, we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence that we have in you. And so if anyone inquires about Titus, Paul said, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the church, the glory of Christ. And therefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. So Titus was to be commended, this unnamed brother as well, commended for the assiduous care that they were showing to these brethren in Corinth. They had a heart of caring, a heart of earnestness, and they were very diligent to serve them on Paul's behalf. And as such, they were to be received as righteous and received with love. Another passage in 1 Timothy talking about a widow. Who is it that can be put on the roll? The Apostle Paul answers that question in verses 9 and 10 and said, don't let a widow under 60 years be taken into the number, and then not unless she has been the wife of one man. And notice the descriptions. She has to be a worthy woman, this widow, in order to be given this benevolence. She said, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted. All of those things are things that she would do for brethren. If she has diligently followed every good work, because in that she proves herself worthy and proves herself capable of receiving such benevolence without becoming conceited and provoking God by receiving that. So it's important for us to recognize how, by these examples, we should be diligent in every good work in serving the brethren. Now, one point to be made with regard to this. One can't rest upon what he's done in the past. And this is an unfortunate thing that I see from time to time, especially as Christians grow older. They may have been very effective and very, very busy and diligent in their service to the Master when they were young. As they grow older, it may be in their mind that it's time for them to step aside and let another take their place. And there are a couple of passages which indicate the importance of maintaining this diligence, again, throughout our life or throughout our Christian walk. A couple I want you to make note of. First one is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, which says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And so you see in this that he's saying, or it is said, implied in this particular text, that the fact that you've helped individuals in the past and said, okay, I've done enough in regard to the good works for others. Now a situation arises. Presently a situation arises where there is an individual who is in need. And because the individual is in need right now, if you think, well, I've done it in the past, I have no need of doing it right now, how can you say that the love of God is abiding in you now if you're not doing what you can to help your brother in need now? So what that indicates, again, is the present necessity of serving God and serving your brethren as a loving brother or sister in Christ, and that you cannot allow the deeds of the past, however commendable, to be what you stand upon. Those things must be matched by present performance. As Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 3, that people need to learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, and that they may not be unfruitful, or perhaps in our way of putting it, become unfruitful after a period of time. So, diligence in serving brethren is something that is important as well. Third point we want to raise in regard to the importance of diligence is in serving our physical families. We must diligently serve our families. The responsibilities of husbands and wives, for example, stated in Ephesians chapter 5, and we look at that language again. Notice in verse 22, the wives are to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, that indicates a matter of degree. We talked about the assiduous efforts that are made because we understand the importance of these activities. If you think that it's important to serve the Lord, you're going to apply yourself in service to the Lord, recognize that the service that you render to your husband is to be as to or in like manner as you offer up your diligence in service to your husband. In verse 24, as the church is subject to everything, wives are to be subject to their husbands in everything. In verse 25 of Ephesians, now talking about husbands, husbands are to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So there again, it shows the degree, the nature of that love, what it should be. And as we see the diligence that Christ showed in loving the church so much that he gave himself for her, shed his blood on her behalf, so a husband ought in like manner love his wife. In verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 33, as maybe a summary statement both with regard to husband and wife responsibilities, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let each wife see that she respects her husband. So diligence is enjoined upon us in the husband-wife relationship. Now, this is also the case with regard to parents and children. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, children are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So the same basic concept is established there. And by the way, with regard to diligence, with regard to the child's responsibility, one thing that we as parents need to understand is that diligence in regard to these things is something that must be taught. Children are not going to naturally be diligent in their obligations to their parents and even obedience to the Lord. These are things that are taught. It's a matter of their upbringing, a matter of their training. So if a child were to develop slothful habits in childhood, those slothful habits can ossify, they can petrify, they can become so characteristic of their person that when they become adults, they remain slothful. You remember the text in Proverbs 13 and verse 24, which states that if you spare your rod, you hate your son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And that's the point, that parents are wanting to develop their children to have the right characteristics, and steadfastness or diligence is one of the characteristics that we should try to instill in our children. Industriousness in youth is going to contribute to future success in every aspect of your child's life. And parents ought to be establishing standards, They should establish chores for the child to do and expect results. Reward obedience and steadfastness and diligence with regard to those things. And you can reward them by entrusting them with more responsibilities and more obligations as they grow and mature. And it is a wonderful teaching opportunity. You remember in Luke chapter 16 when Jesus gave his disciples the parable of the unjust steward. Excuse me. He indicated there that an individual who is faithful in the least will also be faithful in much. But he who is unjust in the least will also be unjust in much. And so that character of a slothful individual, of a lazy individual, is something that needs to be drilled out of him when he's young. In other words, we need to teach a child and train a child to be steadfast and diligent in his actions, because it will have such a broad application in every aspect of his life, whether it's to be successful as a student, successful as an employee, successful as a citizen, and most importantly, successful as a parent, whether it be a mother or a father, and successful especially with regard to service that we offer up to the Lord. And so such diligence is something that is extremely important. Okay, next point we want to make is the importance of being diligent in serving others. We must diligently apply ourselves in service to others. There's a point here that I want to make that I think is interesting. Cervantes once wrote in his book Don Quixote, he said, "Diligence is the mother of good fortune." Diligence is the mother of good fortune. And I want you to understand that if you are acting in a diligent manner in your interactions with other individuals, good comes to you as a result of it. That's an important thing for us to, you know, we always ask, well, what's in it for me? Why should I? And there is actually a lot of practical benefits in being a diligent servant of other people, whether it be God, whether it be our brethren, whether it be our family, or whether it be those who are in the world in general. Let me give you a few passages from the wisdom literature which teaches this. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Chapter 12 and verse 24, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." In verse 27 of that text, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." I like that phrase especially, or that statement, because I want you to think about it. So you have this lazy man, and he goes and he hunts and he kills, and what he took in hunting, then it just goes to waste and it spoils because he didn't have the diligence to take what he killed and to actually cook it. So he's foolish because he doesn't follow through to the end. And foolishness is always bound up in that idea of falling short, of not persisting. But a diligent individual, well, that's diligence is a man's precious possession. Chapter 13 and verse 4, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing." Desires it, but he doesn't get it because he's lazy. "But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." And then Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." Now, we cannot emphasize to too great an extent the benefits that accrue to you because of diligence, but also how beneficial it is as you are diligent in your service to others, how others benefit from your industry and from your efforts. And in a similar vein in the New Testament, Paul affirms that we should manifest a hearty and enthusiastic spirit whatever we are engaging in our life's work. In Ephesians 6 and verse 5, he says to bondservants, he says, "Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart," notice this phrase, as to Christ, "not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or whether he is free." In Colossians 3 and verse 23, Paul says basically the same thing. Whatever you do, he says, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. And that concept of doing it as to the Lord, not to men, we've seen this again and again in our discussion up to this point. And I want you to keep that in mind, whether it be your service to your brethren, whether it be your service to your family, your husband, your wife, your children, whether it be to your friends or those you come into contact with day by day, your employers, all of these. If you're doing it and recognizing that this diligence is something that is expected by God, and as such, the diligence should be the same as the diligence that you express to God Himself. That in that same way, with regard to doing good and helping others, serving them, you should be as active, as diligent, as steadfast in those things. Then you've got a pretty good picture of what it means to truly be diligent as you live your life on earth. He says, know this, that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So what are you doing? Well, you are doing whatever you do heartily as to the Lord, not to men, because you know that by doing it heartily, doing it as God would have you to do, doing it with all of your might, that as a result of that, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll receive a reward as a result of it. But he says that he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality with God. So the importance of these things cannot be overstated. So as we draw our lesson to a close, you can see that diligence is a vital concept. Spiritual sluggishness is not going to see us through to the end, and only those who diligently serve God are going to inherit that promised reward. So the idea of steadfastness and idea of diligence is something that we need to make sure we fully understand. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, are we actually serving Christ, serving our brethren, serving our family, serving others diligently? The law and the prophets hang upon loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And as you consider the nature of that love and that service to mankind, the importance of diligence cannot be overstated. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In effect, we must not make the fatal mistake of neglecting this upright quality of diligence until it's too late. We need to do it now. And so we ask that question. Again, it's an unfortunate thing that because we're virtual, we cannot offer an invitation as we normally do. But we ask the question, will you not obey God while there is time and opportunity? Remembering the text of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, where he states, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's the call for all of us. If there is anything that is amiss in your life, and certainly anything that we can help you with, and we certainly want to share with you the blessings of Christ and to do what we can to help you in your walk and your striving to be a diligent servant of Jesus Christ. Normally, at the end of this lesson, I put a slide up, but I forgot to, concerning other material that you may want to study. So I'll just state it verbally. This particular sermon and the video, as well as all the sermon and teaching that we do here at the Westside Congregation, can be found at our website. That is soundteaching.org, soundteaching.org. And so if you would like access to other Bible materials, would like to contact us, you can contact me at my email address. It's lstancox@gmail.com, and we'll do everything we can to assist you and help you in your Christian walk. I hope and pray that you have been blessed by the message, and we'll see you again next week.